It's my privilege to give the charge this evening to Matthew and to Richard as licentiates. As you enter this very key stage in your training, as I was saying earlier, licensing marks the end of a certain period where there has been more of the academic training, the exams and so on. I remember very clearly doing my last exam as a student. I think it was Hebrew. And I vowed, putting down the pen as the time was up, I vowed never, ever to do another exam in my life. 5 years of legal exams, 3 years of church exams, and so far I've kept that vow. 25 years later, I have not done another exam. I have no intention of doing that. Yeah. Thanks, Bo. Matthew, I'm sure, understands that. Reggie, maybe as well. Although Richard has a sort of a look of a guy who might want to go on and do doctorates and all that sort of thing. Maybe not. But definitely not Matthew. I know these guys quite well. I know Matthew better. Matthew obviously was director of youth here for a number of years. I've forgotten how many. But he was here working alongside us and staff. And the great thing is that having observed church life behind the scenes, observed me closely as well, he still wants to be a minister. That's pretty good. For Richard also, he has worked for a while with Marty in Ballykeel. And that was an enjoyable experience for him. It's even more amazing that he wants to be a minister after working with Marty, but Marty will get me back for that later. But it is wonderful. Having seen church life behind the scenes and under the skin, to continue, so it shouldn't be any surprise to you, some of the stuff that I'm going to say to you this evening as you enter this new chapter, this new phase. Licensed as probationers to preach the gospel. I want to take as my text this evening that verse that was read earlier by Richard in Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. Feel free to turn it up if you wish. Quite a familiar little passage. And verse 35 says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." I want to speak this evening about losing your life, which sounds very negative. But it's not just about losing your life, it's about gaining your life. And as a minister, as someone leading other Christians, all of us who are disciples of Jesus have come to that point where we've handed our lives over to Jesus. Jesus loved paradoxes. He loved to get people to think, and he takes words and concepts and he turns them upside down. And the gospel of salvation is the upside-down gospel. He says if we are to gain our lives, we must lose our lives. To go up, we must go down. The way to life is the way through death. The way of gaining is the way of losing. And this evening you have been licensed to preach about losing. No one likes a loser, and yet you have been licensed to preach about losing your life. And I want to unpack using the Gospel of Mark, starting with this verse in verse 35, five things for you now to preach and to live out as you lose your life more in Jesus. What does it mean? First of all, it means an abandoned life. Mark 8 and 35, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. It's an abandoned life. It means that you will surrender control. You will pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life." Now, we do this when we come to Christ at first. We surrender ourselves. We surrender our pride, our independent spirit. We come to Jesus. We abandon ourselves to him. But as ministers of the gospel, we must especially do this. Abandoning ourselves to God. In a couple of years' time, you may be in that position where other congregations may be interested in you and calling you. And because you are in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, it could mean you are called anywhere in Ireland. And you've got to abandon yourselves to that possibility. When I entered the ministry, I had no idea, first of all, that I would be called initially to Killyleagh in County Down, a place I'd hardly heard of, never mind been in. Spent 13 years, 13 good years there. I had no idea that I would be ending up in Ballymena, a place where my parents live. But you have to be open to God moving you. We have to abandon ourselves to God. God may move me on again. Some High Kirk folk might be quite happy if that happened. I'll talk to you later, Bo, okay? But it's something you've got to be prepared for, because our lives are in the potter's hand, under his control. He's shaping us, molding us, making us. But as we abandon control, as we hand ourselves over to God, we find our lives filled with joy and love and grace and power as we are moving in the place where God wants us to be. Now, I've often said that who you are and what you are is more important than where you are. I still maintain that. But the where is still important, and we have to be open to where God may call us to be. We are releasing control and self-determination, and yet we gain so much more. We think as we build comfort around our lives and safety around our lives that is the be-all and end-all, but it's not really. In David Lodge's novel, Therapy, the main character's therapist asks him to list all the good things in his life in one column, and then all the bad things in another, and look at them. So on one side, on the good side, he writes, professionally successful, well off, good health, stable marriage, nice house, great car, as many holidays as I want, a pretty good list. And then in the column of the bad things, he just wrote one thing, just one sentence. Feel unhappy most of the time. Jesus says you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. And this evening, as you abandon yourself to God, you're gaining more of your soul, and you will be filled with joy and satisfaction as you follow God's will for you. What does it mean to lose your life? It means abandoning. Secondly, in chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer and be killed and after 3 days rise again. It means an expended life. An expended life. A spent life. Now, Jesus died for us and in our place. He took our sins upon his shoulder. He saves us. He died on the cross once for all. But sometimes we want Jesus to do all the dying, and we'll not do any dying. Jim Packer once wrote a book called Hot Tub Religion, where he talked about the increasing trend of Christians who just want a comfortable lifestyle, a relaxing lifestyle, a hot tub religion. Jesus does all the dying, and we do nothing. The old joke has it that a minister is 6 days invisible and 1 day incomprehensible. But it's not really like that, as you know. Ministry is hard work. You will be expended in it, although make sure you're not overspent, and we'll talk about that later. Ministry involves many hours of preparation, many hidden hours that people don't see. It means you being on call 24/7. It will involve you meeting people at their highest and their lowest. It will involve emotional issues. It will involve you being drained emotionally. But in losing your life, in expending your life in the service of others, you will gain your life. And you will find in ministry it is the most rewarding of lives. And at times you may feel like you're losing yourself or losing your head. But as you expend yourself for Jesus, you are gaining your life. And life for others. What does it mean to lose your life? It's the abandoned life. It's the expended life. Thirdly, it's the expanded life. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 10, it tells us about Jesus beginning his ministry. He had been walking on earth for 30 years, and in chapter 1, 10 and 11, it says, "As Jesus came up out of the water, he was being baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit descended on him like a dove, and a voice said, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" 30 years preparing for that point. Now Jesus was going to do his most effective and impactive work. His life is going to expand into ministry for 3 years. And this evening marks a very significant part of your life. And now you enter full-time ministry as a full-time assistant. And I trust that you will find that you will be led into new emotions, that your heart will expand. You will see new places. You will discover new experiences. And instead of living a life that is safe and closed up, it will open out, hopefully, into a lovely expansiveness and joy. When you are involved in ministry as Jesus was, you will find that your heart will expand in compassion. In Mark chapter 6 and 34, it tells us that Jesus, as he saw the people, he had compassion on them. He was always teaching and healing. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 2, it again says, "I have compassion for this people." His heart was enlarged towards people. Your heart will be enlarged and expanded as you minister. And as you minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, as you lose yourself in him, the more he will fill you, and there will be that lovely expansiveness in your life. This is something that I'm only really beginning to appreciate after 25 years of ministry. When we lose our life in Christ, he fills us with his Spirit. He blesses other people through us, and we discover we're doing what we were meant to do and be. It is an expanded life. We move from a claustrophobic closet to the wide open spaces of thrilling adventure and joyous ministry. It's sometimes risky, you will make mistakes, but there is nothing quite like it. Let me quote from no less an authority than the Dixie Chicks. Their song, "Wide Open Spaces." Who doesn't know what I'm talking about? I would sing this, but I would probably clear the room. Who's never left home? Who's never struck out? To find a dream and a life of their own, a place in the clouds, a foundation of stone. Many proceed and many will follow, a young girl's dreams no longer hollow. It takes the shape of a place out west, but what it holds for her she hasn't yet guessed. She needs wide open spaces, room to make her big mistakes. She needs new faces, she knows the high stakes, but she needs wide open spaces. As a licentiate, you will discover wide open spaces. In ministry, you will meet new faces, be in new places, you will make mistakes, but your heart will expand, and you will grow to love God more and to love people more. What does it mean to lose your life? It means the abandoned life, it means the expended life, it means the expanded life. Fourthly, it means a salted life. In Mark chapter 9, verses 49 and 50, Jesus says, "Everyone will be salted with fire." Now, the commentaries have a good time in these couple of verses. They're not quite sure what Jesus is getting at. There's a mixture of things here. But I think what Jesus is doing is he is mixing the two analogies. I think he's making two points in one. The salted life is the opposed life. It's the oppressed life. It's the persecuted life. But through the salting of opposition is also the salting of passion and purity and sanctification that makes us better people. Jesus here in this passage refers to the salting of those who will be salted by the fire of hell because they have not acknowledged him as Savior. But for those who have acknowledged him as Savior, they also will be salted on earth with the persecution and the oppression of others. And Jesus is wrapping these two images together. And when we go into ministry, as indeed live as disciples, we will find that it's the salted life, an opposed life, sometimes an oppressed life. One of the greatest temptations of a minister is to be a people pleaser. I have often stood in this pulpit and had a very strong temptation to please everybody and to say things that will keep them happy. And I confess that sometimes I've given in to that temptation. Sometimes I have resisted it, and as I have preached hard passages, I have sought to tell it as it is, and there has been opposition from people who are not God's people, but also from people who are God's people. This is what happens. Jesus said, "Men will hate you because of me. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master in this." As we faithfully expound God's word, expect opposition. Don't be surprised by it. In fact, I would say, be surprised if you're not getting any opposition. You're probably doing something wrong. Now, you can get opposition because you're being stupid, and I've been there. But you can get opposition for being faithful. And the salted life happens whenever we abandon ourselves to God, when we expend ourselves for God. It is salted by opposition. And yet that salting is building good stuff into us. It's painful, but it's gainful. Fifthly, finally, it means a separated life. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35, it says of Jesus, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, he went off to a solitary place where he prayed." Through Mark's Gospel, you find this rhythm, this pattern of Jesus. He ministers, then he withdraws. He ministers, and then he withdraws, or he tries to withdraw. Often the people follow him. But it's a very important rhythm, and it's a rhythm that we need to build into our lives, and I would commend it to you. Yes, you will lose your life. It will be abandoned, expended, expanded, salted. But you need to separate yourself sometimes to withdraw to be with your Heavenly Father. As ministers, we probably hear and understand 1 to 4, but we forget 5. And we forget that we are not independent. We are very much dependent on God. Once a year, and it's only once a year, and I try and do this more, once a year I try and go away somewhere quiet. I spend a day away in praying and reading God's word, seeking God's face. And I only do that once a year. And every time I do it, I say, this is so good, I must do this again. But other things come in, they squeeze it out. Can I commend to you that you guard the time, extended time to go off with God, your Heavenly Father, especially where there has been that opposition and oppression, to have the little sabbaticals, the days off, where you commune for an extended time with God. It's a discipline, but do it. Keep those days. Build trusted advisors around you. Separate yourself unto God. But can I also add this? It's not only about separating yourself with your Heavenly Father. You also need to separate yourself with your earthly family. And again, sometimes we're not good at this. We need our families. Our families need us. Your wives will need your love and your attention. Our priorities should be God first, family second, and church third. Now, 1 and 3 are very much linked together. God and church, very much linked together. But there is a difference between them. God first, family second, church third, in that order. Beware of the church becoming a mistress. Your wives will not be happy. Listen to what they're saying. You may have to reorder your priorities. Sometimes you simply need to come away to separate yourselves, to have fun, to rest, to be with them. And believe me, your ministry will be the better for it. John Stott, the great John Stott, used to talk about BBC, Balanced Biblical Christianity. I once had the privilege of having dinner with John Stott with some other friends. And I asked him, John, what are you working on at the minute? Expecting him to tell me about the latest commentary or theological treatise that he was working on. And he said, I'm working on a book about birds. That's the feathered ones, obviously. just in case there's any confusion. John Stott was a great bird watcher, and he was compiling a book of photographs about birds and biblical text around those as well. He just loved to get off by himself and to do bird watching. It was how he relaxed. It was how he wound down. It's what he needed to be biblically balanced as a Christian. So I would encourage you to, if you have a hobby, keep it. Matthew obviously is interested in sport and so on. And Reggie, I think, maybe in a form of golf. No, definitely not. Okay. One of the dangers of ministers is to come back to this thing where we're giving ourselves, we're expending ourselves so much in serving the church that we forget to relax, to have a hobby. And we end up becoming quite boring, actually. So have a life. Have a life. Keep a life. Work hard, but play hard as well. As you enter this exciting new chapter of your lives, as I close, I have no doubt that the Lord will bless you. We will be praying in Highkirk for you that your ministries will flourish and be fruitful. Many other of these folks will be doing that as well. We look forward to hearing great stories of the chapters that are going to be written as you continue to serve the Lord as ministers of the gospel. May God bless you. As you lose your life, you'll also gain.